Turn in your Bibles this morning, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6, and we're so glad that each of you are here. For those of you who are wondering, my dad made it back safely to South Africa, and we're thankful that he was able to make a quick trip back here to visit his mom, and you continue praying for her. And then my mom is actually in North Dakota right now, and she'll be here this coming week for a few days. We're looking forward to spending a little bit of time with her before she returns back to South Africa. It's good to have the Morrisons with us, and we'll hear more from Brother Paul in the afternoon service, an update about the ministry there in Eswatini, and we're thankful that they could join with us today. It's good to have Brother Sargent and his wife with us as well, and you get by and say hello to them a little bit later. They heard we were having food today, and so they came from the West Coast so they could enjoy the... They heard the food was so good here that they came from Washington State just to have it. So we're thankful you all are here. Matthew chapter 6. I want to speak for a few moments this morning about the subject of organizing your prayer life. And this is a message that I preached several years ago. And I want to come back, circle back with some of these details because I think it's some helpful thoughts. And as we've been considering the subject of prayer since the beginning of January, and as a church, we're asking God to grow us in this area. I trust that the instruction that you've received and that the scripture that has been preached on this subject has been a help to you, and we're thankful for what God is doing in our church. But we want to talk a little bit this morning about how do I take some of the practical things, some of the principles that we've been learning about prayer, and how do I put them to work? And I want to say a few things this morning about the importance of organizing your prayer life. Note there in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 6, the scripture says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now you'll note there in verse number 6 that as the Lord is speaking concerning the subject of prayer, there is first of all an assumption of prayer. He says, "But thou, when thou prayest." In other words, it is presumed that those who belong to God will pray. This is set in contrast to what is mentioned in verse 5 about hypocrites who go to pray, and they go to a public place and they stand in a place that is prominent where many people will see them, and they pray loudly so that they would be seen of men. And Jesus said about those who pray in that manner, they have their reward. But there is a need for us to pray. And when we pray, Jesus says we should enter into our closet. I want to say this morning that, of course, there's public prayer and there is private prayer. Both are important. We've tried to stress public prayer this year as a church and tried to challenge ourselves to make sure that when we are praying together as a church publicly, that we are in fact praying and not just saying words to be seen of men. There is also private prayer. And our public prayer that is offered should be an outgrowth of our private prayer. In other words, we wouldn't expect to be able to pray publicly, that is, before people, unless we have spent time in prayer privately. We should be meeting privately with the Lord. And when we talk about private prayer, there's two different aspects of private prayer that I see in the Scripture. There is that kind of private prayer which is spontaneous, and that kind of private prayer which is planned. And let me explain to you what I mean. An example of spontaneous prayer is found in the book of Nehemiah. When Nehemiah was before the king, And the king says to him, basically, why are you so depressed? Why are you so sad? And the Bible says that in that moment, Nehemiah prayed to the Lord. It was a spontaneous prayer. He needed to have God's help. In that moment, he cried out to the Lord. It couldn't have been a very long prayer because he was in the middle of a conversation with the king. It was probably this kind of prayer, help me, Lord. And then went on with the conversation. Spontaneous prayer. Spontaneous prayer is the kind of prayer where we may be going through our day and something happens. And it's a crisis in our life, and we don't have much time. We don't have time to get down on our knees and really labor in prayer, but we just utter a prayer to the Lord. Lord, please help me in this moment. Maybe you're going about your day, and you are in a conversation with someone, and all of a sudden they express some spiritual interest, and your heart cries out to the Lord, Lord, give me wisdom, and Lord, help me to minister the gospel to this person as you go on with the conversation and try to speak to them about the Lord. Spontaneous prayer. Spontaneous prayer is important. Spontaneous prayer is an important part of walking with the Lord. I believe that's what the scriptures mean when it says we should pray without ceasing, that we should pray spontaneously throughout the day as if God is a part of our daily life, because in fact he is, if we are saved. But in addition to spontaneous prayer, there is also an emphasis in the scripture on prayer that is planned. There is a definite emphasis, and we see it here in Matthew chapter 6, and in a companion passage in Luke chapter 11, there is a definite emphasis which teaches that you and I should plan to pray. We should set aside time for our prayer life. And here in Matthew chapter 6, you note that he speaks about a place of prayer. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. A little bit later, there is a plan for prayer. He talks about an outline that we should seek, or some ingredients of prayer that we should seek to include. In other words, and this is where I'm driving at with this message this morning, I think many of us may have the idea, well, if I'm a Christian, then I'm just going to pray. And it'll be easy, and it'll come naturally. And maybe you've read some books that said, you know, prayer is as natural to the Christian as breathing is to a human being. And I understand what they're saying, and to a point, I agree with that. But there is also a decided emphasis in the scriptures on the discipline of prayer that must be developed. And if you have been a Christian for any length of time, I'm sure that you have become aware that when you get ready to pray, there's a million distractions. There's all kinds of things that will draw your attention away. And without planning, preparation, and discipline, you aren't going to actually spend very much time praying. And that's what we want to talk about this morning, is how to organize your prayer life. Hey, Isaac, can you do me a favor and go get me some water? I'm sorry, the locust blossoms are falling, and I've had a pretty good year with my allergies, and I am getting it all right now. So hopefully I'll make it through the day. We want to look, first of all, at some examples of an organized prayer life. Do we find in the scriptures some examples that teach us that powerful prayer is organized? Yes, we do. Let's go in our Bibles, first of all, to the book of Daniel, chapter 6. Daniel, chapter 6. Seems like the book of Daniel is hiding from me this morning. All right, Daniel chapter 6, and a story that you may be familiar with, is regarding this man Daniel. And during Daniel's tenure there in the kingdom of Babylon, and then later in the Medo-Persian Empire, he's a very powerful man, and there were some people in the Persian Empire that wanted to destroy him. And so there was a decree that they convinced the king to sign that no one should pray to anyone except for the king. And then we come down to verse number 10. And the Bible says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house And his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. And this is what I want you to see, as he did aforetime. So Daniel had a plan or a pattern of prayer. 3 times a day, in the morning, in the midday, and in the evening, Daniel would go to a place in his home. He would open the windows towards Jerusalem. He would get down on his knees, and he would pray. And here's the thing. Everybody knew that Daniel prayed. They knew where he prayed, and they knew when he prayed. And the way we know that is because when these men had set that trap, they went and watched, and they waited for Daniel to open his windows and to get on his knees to pray, and they knew that he would, and then they accused him of making a crime, and you know the rest of the story about how the Lord delivered him. But what I want to point out here is, and we see much about Daniel's prayer life. In fact, a good portion of the book of Daniel is revealing to us how Daniel was involved in spiritual warfare through prayer. And we say, man, that's a wonderful example. How did he get to that place? Because he had a plan of prayer that he followed. He was very disciplined in his prayer. 3 times a day, Daniel was on his face before God. And he had, I believe, an organized prayer life. This is different than the person who says, well, I just pray whenever the Spirit moves me, about whatever the Spirit moves me to pray about. Well, that's good. You should pray whenever you sense a need to pray, but you also need to have an organized, regular prayer time. How about Psalm 55? Turn there. Psalm 55. David, the psalmist, says in verse 17, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Do you see the prayer plan that David had? David said, 3 times a day, I'm going to pray to God. I'm going to cry out to the Lord, and he's going to hear my voice. We know that David was a man of prayer. As we study the Psalms, we see that prayer was a major occupation that he had. He was busy often about praying and praising the Lord. And I believe that much of that is an outgrowth of his plan of prayer. How about Mark chapter 1? Turn over there. Here's another example. Someone else who had a plan of prayer, a discipline of prayer. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. The Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. The Bible says about him in verse 35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. We find in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ that Jesus had a regular pattern of prayer. He frequently prayed all night long. He frequently went in the early morning and prayed. There were places, depending on where Jesus was, where he was known by his disciples to go and pray. I'll point out here, in this case, it was a solitary place. He went somewhere where he could be alone. He went somewhere where he would not be disturbed. And there's a point there that you and I need to take to our heart and consider, because many of the distractions that we have in prayer are self-inflicted. And we need to learn to set those things aside. Jesus obviously understood something about that. And you might say, well, that's nice for Jesus, but you know, I work a job and I'm tired and it's difficult. It's incredible to me to study in the scriptures how Jesus would pour himself out in ministry and then go and spend all night in prayer. And he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He understands the weakness and the frailty of our flesh, and yet he prioritized prayer. Later, when it was time for Jesus to be betrayed, you can write down John 18 and verse 2, Judas found Jesus because he was in the place where Jesus always went to pray when he was in the area of Jerusalem. Judas knew exactly where he would be praying, and he came to him. And the reason is because Jesus had a pattern of prayer. So we have some examples in the scripture of an organized prayer life. I would go so far as to say that anyone who has ever been powerful in prayer had a definite pattern of planning and practicing prayer on a regular basis. No one becomes a powerful prayer warrior. No one becomes someone who can see God answer prayer without disciplining themselves in the area of prayer. You're not going to be a prayer warrior if you're just going to be spontaneous in your prayer life. You're going to have to plan. I've also noted this, that things that get prioritized are the things that get done. The sad part of that is that many of us have wrong priorities. We prioritize things that are not at all important. This can be evident simply by looking at the number of hours in a normal week that the average adult and young adult in our country spends on social media. I don't think you have to be a rocket scientist to understand that social media is not a priority or a necessity of life. But most, the average person spends not minutes, hours every day on social media. And so we say, well, I don't have time. Well, you have time for the things that are important to you. And if we are believers, prayer ought to be important to us. I'm preaching to myself right now. Have you ever noticed how prayer is one of the first things to be jettisoned in your life when things get busy? But that's a choice that we make. That's not accidental. That's a choice that we make. And it ought not to be that way. It shows that we do not prioritize prayer the way that we ought to. And so we want to make prayer a priority. Just like every other important thing in our life, we have to carve out a space and say, I'm going to organize myself. I'm going to discipline myself to be faithful in this area. Let's talk now, second of all, and you can go back in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. Let's talk about the necessity of an organized prayer life. I gave you some examples, but now I want to really stress the necessity of organizing your prayer life. Jesus says in verse number 6 that we should be careful when we pray, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. In verse 7 he says, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. One of the objections to regularly scheduled times of prayer is some people say, well, I don't want to be guilty of vain repetitions. I don't want to go in my prayer closet and say the same things over and over again, and Jesus warns against that, so I'm just going to fall back on spontaneous prayer. I'm going to say this. In my opinion, people who do not practice regular discipline of prayer are the ones who fall into the trap of vain repetitions more than those who are disciplining themselves to prayer. Just to think, well, if I schedule a time, then I'm going to be repeating things in a vain way. No, I think actually you have an opportunity to plan your prayer time in such a way that you are not using vain repetitions of men. And think about all different areas of life. For instance, how does somebody become healthy, strong, and fit? Do they sit on the couch, eat cheese curls and nachos, and watch football? And as they watch those guys playing football, they get stronger and more fit? No. No, to the contrary, the way that a person becomes strong and fit, and we would say healthy, is they have to discipline themselves to exercise. Now, I don't know how many of you really like exercise, but the point is, most of us don't enjoy it. And maybe you get to a point when you've exercised regularly long enough that exercise actually becomes enjoyable. But when you start exercising, Your body screams at you and says, don't do this, you're going to die. You're probably going to have a heart attack on the treadmill right there, so don't risk it. Be careful not to harm yourself. When we think about physically, we understand that if we're going to be healthy and fit, there has to be discipline, there has to be planning, there has to be preparation, sometimes there has to be accountability. A solid prayer life is much like that. It doesn't happen by accident. You're not just going to accidentally wake up one morning and start praying fervently like the scriptures tell us to. You're going to actually have to plan to do it. You're going to have to set aside some time to do it. Now, spontaneous prayer is important. It's an integral part of our Christian walk, but I believe spontaneous prayer springs out of a regularly scheduled prayer life. It's not that spontaneous prayer happens by accident. It happens because we have spent time praying before, so we're comfortable in prayer. Do you all understand what I'm saying there? Does that make sense? I think about in a marriage. We have a couple of couples who are preparing to get married. You know, in a marriage, quality communication, you have to prepare for that. You have to discipline yourself to talk to each other. If you don't, if you just assume, well, communication will happen, what do you find takes place? Life comes in, and you both get busy doing things, and next thing you know, you're not talking the way that you ought to be talking. You're not communicating with one another. There's miscommunications, misunderstandings, problems come up in the relationship, all because of a failure in communication. No, communication is something that you have to work at. You have to pursue in a marriage. In the same way, communication with God is something that has to be pursued. It's something that has to be planned for. It's something that has to be prioritized. I've noted this in my life to be true. Lack of planning and lack of discipline always results in neglect. Did you get that? Lack of planning and lack of discipline always results in neglect. If you do not plan and you do not discipline yourself in prayer, then I know this, you're not praying. Because it's not going to happen by accident. You're going to have to prepare yourself and you're going to have to discipline yourself. And when you and I neglect prayer, what does that do to us and how we feel about our relationship with God? And I don't want to base it on feelings, but I do want you to think for a moment, when you know you are not praying, how do you feel about your relationship with God? Do you feel close to Him? Do you sense that God is near? No. Because you know that you're neglecting prayer. You know that you're not spending time with God like you ought to. You and I have to plan to make our relationship with the Lord a priority. And of course, prayer doesn't happen in a vacuum either. Prayer needs to be scriptural, and it's part of spending time in the Word of God. And then prayer is part of that conversation, and all of this goes together. Many people experience frustration in their life. I talk to a lot of Christians who are very frustrated in their prayer life because they don't know what to do. They say, well, okay, it's time to pray. And they know it's time to pray. And maybe they schedule the time and they get up in the morning and they get themselves woke up and they go and they get on their knees and they say, okay, I'm going to pray. And they pray about everything they can think about and they look at their watch and 3 minutes went by. And they think, ah, how do I pray? There's a lot of frustration that relates to our prayer. And here's what I'm stressing. A lot of that frustration can be alleviated by planning concerning prayer, by preparing yourself to pray. If you're frustrated and you don't know what to say, then I believe you probably will just stop praying. If you go to pray and you find it difficult to spend more than 1 minute in prayer before you run out of things to say, then chances are you're not going to come back and pray tomorrow. You're not going to describe your relationship with God as being sweet and intimate. You're going to speak about it in terms of frustration and not knowing what to do. And I believe that many Christians find themselves in exactly this place. They know they ought to pray, but they're just not sure what to do. One thing that can help with this is our perspective. And it helps us to understand that prayer is hard work. Listen, I was working on the car the other day. Had a problem in the front end that I needed to deal with. And that didn't happen spontaneously. I had to go park the car in a level spot. I had to go drag my big jack from the garage down in the backyard, still puzzled about that, up to where it's paved, where the cars park, and bring it there. And then I had to go get tools, and I had to take the wheel off. There was a lot of preparation that had to take place. I had to make sure I was dressed properly. I had to make sure that I had eye protection because I was doing some grinding on a metal part. I had all these things. There was preparation that had to take place in order to do that job. It was a hard work kind of a job, and it required preparation. In the same way, prayer is hard spiritual work, and it takes spiritual diligence on our part. One word that is frequently used in regards to prayer is the word watch. The word watch, I believe, speaks about the need for diligence on our part. It speaks about the need for us to be spiritually aware. It's unlikely that you'll have a meaningful prayer time as you're laying in bed falling asleep. Now, I'm not going to discourage you from praying while you're falling asleep. I actually think that's a great way to fall asleep, talking to the Lord. But don't take that to be your meaningful prayer time, because you're going to be right in the middle of something and you're going to fall asleep. All right? So you need to have some diligence to plan a time when you're going to be awake, a time when you're going to be alert, a time when you're going to be aware of what is going on. I think because prayer is hard work and it takes spiritual diligence and preparation, many people end up avoiding it, or they just, okay, I'm just going to go pray, and then they get frustrated because they put a stumbling block in their own way by not preparing to pray. And I'm building all this up to talk about how we can prepare to pray. It's very, very important to prepare. Now, obviously, preparation in prayer and planning your prayer time does not rule out that the Holy Spirit could take your prayer time in a different direction than what you have written down on your prayer list. That may happen, and frequently will happen, where the Spirit of God may draw your attention to a particular item on the prayer list, and you begin really praying about that, and your heart is moved in that area. So we don't want to discount the leadership of the Holy Spirit, but being led by the Holy Spirit does not negate planning. I think we fall into a ditch on either side with this. Some people say, well, I want to be led by the Holy Spirit, so I don't want to plan anything. Remember years ago when I was in high school, I think, I went on visitation with a man. And we were going to be partners. And we got out to the car, and he was driving, and I said, where are we going? And he said, I don't know. Let's pray about it right now and ask the Lord. Now, that sounds spiritual, but the truth of the matter is we ended up not going anywhere because there was no preparation made to go and visit someone. So it sounds spiritual to say, well, I'm just depending on the Holy Spirit to lead me, but planning doesn't mean you're not depending on the Holy Spirit. In the same way, I should depend on the Holy Spirit concerning what to preach and what to teach here in the assembly, but that doesn't mean, and there were some preachers who felt that this was the way you should do it, that doesn't mean when I come up to the pulpit, I don't know what I'm going to preach. And I'm going to get up here and say, I'm not sure yet what I'm going to preach, so sing another song while I figure it out. And you say, nobody ever does it. Well, there were some people who used to do it that way. But I think you can follow the Spirit and plan. I think you can do both. And so in our prayer life, we want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, but we also want to make some plans. We want to prepare ourselves practically and organize our prayer life. Now, here in Matthew 6, I'll just point out briefly that there is an outline for prayer, which is recommended. Sometimes this is called the Lord's Prayer. But there is an outline for prayer that is definitely recommended to us by the Lord. And he says that when we pray, there is an outline that we can follow. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. This is adoration or praise. There should be aspects in our prayer life, our private prayer life, and our public prayer life that have to do with worshiping God, with dealing with his character, his nature, with reminding ourselves about his goodness to us. Adoration. It's a very important part of prayer that is often neglected. Without planning to adore God or to worship God in prayer, most of us will go right to the things that we want. Lord, you know I need this new car. Lord, you know I got this problem at work I need you to solve. Lord, this relationship problem in my life has got to be dealt with. Before we ever get to those requests, we ought to spend time worshiping the Lord and praising him for who he is. You say, why is that? Well, for one thing, because after you've worshiped God for a while, the problem that is on your heart might look totally different than what it did before. All of a sudden, that thing that was so overwhelming may not seem quite as overwhelming as it was after you've considered how big God is and how incredibly powerful he is. So adoration is spoken about. He goes on there in verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. There's an element of surrender to the Lord as we worship him, surrender to his kingdom, surrender to his will and his rule in our life. Then he says in verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. That is the request that we have. So he's saying, okay, I need some bread. Now, most of us don't understand what this means. I'm thankful for that, actually. I'm thankful that we don't necessarily have to go into a day and say, Lord, I don't know what my family's going to eat, and I need you to provide. And yet, many believers down through the years, that's exactly how they've lived. But I do know this, that we can bring our petitions to the Lord, and there's things that we need today. In this sense, you may not need to go home and say, there's nothing in the pantry, nothing to eat. But I'll tell you, there's one thing that all of us need, and that is spiritual food. We need God to give us our daily bread in a spiritual sense. We need God to work in our lives. And we can come to God with our petitions. Much of Scripture that speaks about prayer is regarding the fact that we can come to God and we can bring our requests before him. He says in verse 12, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So there is the element of confession that is found in prayer. I would say this is after adoration. This is also greatly neglected. Many of us do not plan to spend time confessing our sin to God, making sure that our sin account is short, making sure that we're examining our life. I think part of our prayer life should be opening ourselves to the Lord and saying, Lord, search me and try me. Know my heart. Show to me the areas where I may have sinned. Show me where I may have come out of fellowship with you so that I can get that right with you. Confession is so important in our prayer life. There's also the need for thanksgiving. Thanking God for all of his goodness in our lives. You know, God has been very good to us, and we can think about all the blessings that he's given to us. He's given us life, and it's given us blessings of family and blessings of a church and physical or prosperity type of blessings. We can be thankful for all these things. I would challenge you, though, in the area of thanksgiving to think about outside the boundaries of what you normally thank God for. Most of us have four or five things that we say thank you to God for on a regular basis. But if you start thinking about it, there's a lot more things to be thankful for. And we should expand our thanksgiving vocabulary. So adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, all of these are important parts of prayer that we want to make sure that we include in our prayer life. So how do we make sure that we are careful to include all these different ingredients of prayer? Well, there are several things. First of all, I think it's helpful to use a prayer journal. It's helpful to use a prayer journal. Now, you might have a digital prayer journal. You might have a notebook that you use. You might have some other way of having a prayer journal. I remember Some years ago, one of my friends, a friend in the ministry, a fellow that I knew at that time, and I'm still friends with him today, he had in his bedroom a place where he knelt in the presence of the Lord, and there in his prayer place, he had all over the wall different verses that had to do with prayer, different promises, different aspects of God's character, and prayer requests that were printed or written on pieces of paper, and they were all right there in front of him so that when he prayed, he had these things right in front of him. Some people prefer not to have a book. They prefer to have things on the wall. Whatever. What I'm saying is use a prayer journal because it's going to help you to be organized. I think most of us find it overwhelming, the number of things that we are asked to pray for. It actually is overwhelming. You know, every week we have a prayer bulletin. I don't think I have it in this Bible. We have a prayer bulletin that goes out and it's two sides of a page. And every one of those prayer requests is important. And then most weeks that gets refreshed and there's new prayer requests on there. And then if you have folks that you're talking to that are brothers and sisters in the Lord, they have prayer requests. You have family prayer requests. You have prayer requests for the country. You have prayer requests for our leadership. You have prayer requests, all these different things, personal prayer requests that are on your heart, and it's overwhelming. If you don't plan, if you don't prepare and discipline yourself, then you're going to find that you pray for the same three or four things over and over again, and most of the rest of things get neglected. I will say this. Sometimes we are asked to pray for something. As a pastor, I'm often asked to pray for things. The other night, I was on outreach down in Allentown, and I was talking with a woman, and she said to me, "I want you to pray for me." Now, I said, "Okay, I will pray for you, but I want to pray for you right now." Because I wanted to make sure I didn't forget to pray. And I wanted to pray in her presence because she really needs the Lord to work in her life. And she's kind of ignoring what she knows she ought to do. She knows the truth and she's going the other direction. And so I wanted to pray in her presence. And I also didn't want to be guilty of saying, "I'll pray for you," and then walk away and forget to pray for her. And so sometimes when people here in the assembly even come up to me and say, "Pray for this," sometimes right in that moment, I will talk to the Lord and I'll say, "Lord, would you meet that request? Would you work in that situation?" I'll silently pray to the Lord. Sometimes I'll pray with them right in that moment. Let's pray together about that right now and bring that before the Lord. Because otherwise, I'm going to forget. I'm going to get overwhelmed. There's all these prayer requests. So using a prayer journal helps you to be able to vary your requests from day to day. There'll be some requests that you want to pray about every single day, and others that you want to pray about maybe once a week, or maybe some other things that you'll have on a once a month type of a rotation where you want to bring those before the Lord regularly, but you're not going to pray for them every single day. In your prayer journal, then you have the opportunity to also take some specific passages that have to do with worship or adoration, the character of God, and you can write those passages right in. That way you're not scrambling through your Bible, flipping, trying to find something to worship the Lord about, but you have some things that are right there in your prayer journal. The book of Psalms, by the way, is a great resource as well for adoration. And just using that plan of the five Psalms for every day of the month, you can often find an applicable Psalm that you can use to worship the Lord in prayer. You can also, in your prayer journal, write down for each day of the week some specific areas of your life that you want to confess sin about. You want to ask the Lord, for instance, on a particular day, to search your heart for areas of sin in regards to this specific area of my life, in regards to my relationship with my family, in regards to my relationship with my church, in regards to my job. Ask the Lord to examine your heart and show you where you may have sinned. And that way, you're being very specific and particular in confession instead of saying, "Lord, if I've sinned, please forgive me." But you're being more sensitive to what's really going on in your life. You can also choose certain areas of your life to give thanks about every day. And you can say, "Well, on this day of the week, I'm going to give thanks to God for this aspect of my life, for my financial well-being. I'm going to thank God for my health over here. I'm going to thank God for my family on this day. I'm going to thank God for my church over here. And you can have some specific things that you're going to thank God for on particular days of the week. So a prayer journal can really help you to organize your prayer life in a way that is meaningful, so that when you kneel to pray, you're not praying about the same couple of things every day, repeating the same types of, okay, thanking the Lord for exactly the same thing as I did yesterday, over and over and over again every day. And that's where we fall into vain repetitions. That's where, and here's the thing with vain repetitions. It's not wrong for us to pray for the same things over and over again, or to thank God over and over again for the same things. What is wrong is when we pray without thought. When we are so familiar with what we pray for that it just rolls off our tongue and we didn't even think, and then we have been guilty of using vain repetitions. Just saying words is not praying. Prayer has to come from the heart. It has to, the mind has to be engaged. And so I think using a prayer journal can be a big help. I think third of all, in practicing an organized prayer life, having a set appointment with God is very helpful. Most of us get up at a specific time every morning. And some of you are younger and you don't understand that yet. One day you'll be older and you'll have a bell that goes off in your body at a certain time every day and you'll just get up. For me, it doesn't matter whether it's a day off or a day on. It doesn't matter whether I'm traveling or whether I'm home. I guess I'm getting old. My body just says it's time to get up. And that's a good thing. That's helpful for us, actually, in disciplining ourselves for prayer. So for most people, early in the morning is going to be a good time for prayer. The reason is because it tends to be quiet early in the morning. There's not a lot of distraction, so you have some time to spend with the Lord. Now, I will at this moment say, I realize that not all of you are morning people. And some of you say, that would be very unproductive for me to do anything. Most, you know, there are some people who get out of bed in the morning and the most that they can manage is to stumble downstairs, get a cup of coffee and sit down and wake up for a while. And that's okay if that's the way that you're wired. You have to understand that and you may have to adjust your schedule. You may have to adjust to a different time. I do want to say this, whatever the best time of the day is for you, give that time to God. For me, the best time of day is first thing in the morning. Here's something I have to be careful of, though. When I get up in the morning, I have a tendency to want to check my email, see if there were any text messages that came in the night, look at the news. And I find that that is a big deterrent for me spending quality time with the Lord. If I'm going to spend quality time with the Lord, I really need to set those things aside until later in the day, and I need to give God the first hours, the first moments of the day to seek Him, to read His Word, to spend time in prayer. But I am saying this, set an appointment with God. Have a time that you say, this is God's time, and I'm going to spend time with Him in prayer in this time. Have a place. It is helpful as much as possible to use the same place every day. It may be the easy chair in your den. It may be an actual closet. Some people are able to find spaces in their house that can become a closet. We live in a house from the 1800s. We hardly have any closets in the house, and the ones that we do have stuff in them. So there's not room for a person to pray. But that idea of having a closet doesn't mean you have to build a closet in your house and that's where you're going to go to pray. It has the idea there's going to be a place for you to pray. It might be during this time of year that you have a place on your deck or your porch where you can sit and talk to the Lord. You can kneel and talk to the Lord, read His Word. But have a place where you can go every day at the same time, spend time in the Word and praying to God. If you're organized in that way, you'll find that your prayer life will grow as a result. I believe that. In that place and in that time, do everything that you can to minimize distractions in that location. One of the reasons I like the early morning is because there are fewer distractions. But if you've been a Christian for very long, then you know that the best way to remember all the things that you need to do is to start trying to pray. For me, if I need to make a to-do list, I start trying to pray. Because all the things that I should be doing in that moment and that are so urgent that must be done immediately flood into my mind. Somebody made this suggestion to me years ago, and it really does work. Keep a piece of paper or a place where you can record those things so that when they come into your mind, you can jot them down and then forget about them. You don't have to go and deal with that right in that moment. If you write it down, it can wait a few more minutes. So a place to write down the things that come to your mind. Because I think you know it's true. If you start trying to spend time with God, there's lots of things that are going to come into your head. It's a good idea to turn off the telephone and to turn off the devices. This is not a good time to check social media or email. In my case, I often, when I'm reading my Bible in the morning, I read on my tablet. I have a Bible app on my tablet, and I like to read my Bible on there. But I find that if I'm not careful, it's easy to go from my Bible program to other things like my email program. Oh, let me just check on that real quick. Not a good idea. So one thing that I try to do when I'm reading my Bible is I try to set my tablet on airplane mode so that I can't go and check those things. I would have to do another step. So I'm forcing myself, okay, this is my time with the Lord. I don't want to waste my time going and doing those other things. Minimize those distractions. Try to pick a quiet and secluded spot and time. I do realize how challenging this can be depending on your stage of life and where you are. Now, those of you who your children are out of the home, this would be a lot easier for you. It can be very difficult when you have young children to find that time and that place. But I'm confident that you can find it if you look hard enough for it, if you set aside that time. But trying to make that place where you go for prayer an agreeable place, a place where you want to be. And you'll find, I believe, that as you discipline yourself in prayer and as you grow in prayer, you're going to find that your prayer time becomes more intimate. It becomes more powerful. It becomes more meaningful to you so that you get to the point where you really don't want to miss that time of prayer. You really feel like you missed something if you don't have time. Let's say your alarm didn't go off and you got out of bed a little late and so you weren't able to go to your normal place of prayer and you really feel like you missed something. You want to get to that place where prayer is such a regular part of your life that you miss it when you don't have the time to pursue it. And as believers, we need to work hard at organizing our prayer life so that we will be sure to be regular prayer warriors. Now, I've given you some practical things today to consider. But I want to ask you just to take one thing. Go from here today and say, Lord, I want to make this one change in my life. One thing that I find that many Christians, because they feel guilty about not praying, and because they know they ought to pray, when they hear a message like this, they say, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it. This week, I'm going to spend an hour in prayer every day. Well, if you haven't been praying, don't start by trying to say, I'm going to spend an hour in prayer every day. Make a commitment to the Lord to spend 10 minutes in prayer tomorrow and 10 minutes in prayer the next day. And begin to discipline yourself in a reasonable way and plan to grow in that area. Much like if you were going to get in shape, you wouldn't say, I'm going to run a marathon tomorrow. You would say, I'm going to go and exercise for 15 or 20 minutes. And that's more reasonable. In the same way, this can be true in your life. Take one thing and say, Lord, I want to grow in this area. I want to organize my prayer life. I want my prayer life to be more of what God describes in His Word. And I believe that God will bless our church as we individually begin to pursue prayer in practical ways in our lives. I trust this has been a challenge to you and a help to you, and I trust that you'll take something and apply it in your life.